definitely demonstrates something that is a work in progress. A work in progress. I remember very vividly as a young boy, the first time that I became really enamored with the idea of a puzzle is when my grandmother, I was raised by, my mom and dad were divorced when I was younger, so I was raised by my mom and my grandma, and my grandma brought home one day for me as a gift a puzzle that she'd gotten at the store, or maybe she ordered it, I'm not sure how she did it back then, but she had one of my pictures made as a puzzle. Have you seen those before? You can just go take a picture and they'll create a puzzle for you. And I was like, that was like the coolest thing ever that I'd be able to actually put together, not a puzzle of a cat or a dog or a flower or a rainbow, snooze, putting together a puzzle of myself. You know, as a kid, I thought that was the most amazing thing, And so I really became, you know, enamored with puzzles and just loved the idea of what it means to be a work in progress. Now in Philippians chapter 1, in verse number 6, we read these words, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We are all a work in progress. Every single one of us is a work in progress. None of us has arrived. None of us is perfect. None of us have all the pieces together the way that we sometimes would like to have the pieces together. We are all a work in progress. And whether it's a small puzzle, whether it's an elaborate, you know, you look at your life like, "Pastor Greg, you would not believe my life. You would not believe how expansive and dramatic, you know, my life is." You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You and I, our lives are a work in progress. And I want you to take this puzzle piece, I want you to keep it someplace, and I want that to be a reminder to you that God is not finished with you yet. God is not finished in your life. God is still working in your life. And you are a work in progress, that he is bringing about something beautiful in you. And he will. The Apostle Paul says, "I am sure of this, that he who began the good work will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. Isn't that a great promise? That is an awesome, awesome promise that we have from Scripture. Now, does anybody have a puzzle piece that has a red star on the back? Did anybody grab a puzzle piece that has a red star on the back? Anybody? You have it? All right. Come on up. Come on down. Come on down. Here's your very own Marvel Avengers puzzle for you. All right? Just what you wanted, right? Just what you wanted. There you go, Madeline. There you go. Cool. Thanks. Okay. All right. They didn't have any Star Wars ones, so that was close. Okay. As we rediscover church, we find that God continues to do a work in our lives all throughout our journey as a believer in Jesus. God is doing that work in our lives all throughout our journey as a believer in Jesus. Okay, so I've got, so last week we had a couple of guys come up for volunteers, so we're going to be like equal opportunity. So Kayla and Alicia are going to come up and help me illustrate a couple things this morning. So I can't be said, "You always pick the boys. You always pick the boys. Why don't you pick the girl sometime?" So you stand here, and Lisa, you're going to come over on this side, okay, and you're going to stand over here. And I want to share a couple things this morning related to the subject of justification, glorification, and sanctification, okay? So a little bit of theology today that stay with me. Or, you know, I'm going back for coffee. You're talking about theology. Stay with me. I'm really excited to share some of these things. Now, the first thing I want you to do is turn to Romans chapter number 3, okay? And everybody turn there. Everybody turn to Romans chapter 3. I want you to see these verses. We're going to look at a verse in Romans 3, Romans 8, and then Romans 6. And so I want to illustrate this and kind of lay some groundwork and then share a few points, and we'll be on our way. We'll be on our way this afternoon. We're so glad that you're here this morning. Okay, so the first one is justification. Okay, justification. Great theological word, okay? We read about it in Romans chapter number 3, starting in verse number 22, okay? Romans 3:22. You follow along as I read. The Bible says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Okay? Now, let me pause really quick and say, we could spend 4 weeks just on those verses, okay? So let me give you 4 minutes, okay, with those verses. And as always, if you have questions or think, man, that was really interesting, I'd like to talk to you more about that, please, you know, contact me and let me know, okay? So Kayla's going to be kind of the justified, you know, the justified side of the equation, and we'll get to you in just a couple minutes, okay? So hang on there, okay? So the Bible says that we're all born into sin, okay? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we become justified. In fact, that's our statement in the bulletin if you're following along. When we accept Jesus as Savior, we become justified. Definition of justification, it's the declaration of righteousness upon a believer in Jesus. Okay? So when someone, we're born in this world as sinners. We're sinful, okay? Not just because of the things that we do, but because of who we are. We are predisposed to sinful, selfish behavior. That's just how we are as human beings because of the fall of man and the curse on man and all those different things, okay? So God says, I want to reestablish, I want to be in relationship with you, so I'm sending my son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. And by accepting Jesus as personal Savior, you then can be justified, you can be declared righteous before me. So, Kayla was born a sinner. That's all I'm going to say. Kayla was born a sinner, okay? And so in her life, just as in my life, and she got it from me, incidentally, so I can't, like, throw, you know, you're a sinner because I'm a sinner. Sorry. So she's born a sinner, okay? But Jesus is righteous. Jesus is holy. Jesus is perfect. And when Jesus dies upon the cross, Jesus takes her sinfulness upon himself, and it dies with him on the cross. And then his righteousness is placed over her. So now when God views her as being justified, declared righteous. Just like it's a judicial term, it's a legal term, like an acquittal. When someone is brought to trial and all the evidence is presented and they're found not guilty, We are declared not guilty. We are acquitted of all of our sins, not because of anything we have done, but because we have by faith received the gift of God in Jesus, who then covers our sinfulness with his righteousness. That's an awesome place to be. So that's our justification. So God looks at Kayla, God looks at you, God looks at me, and he doesn't see our sin, he doesn't see our unrighteousness, he doesn't see the blackness, he sees the righteousness of Jesus covering us. And so we can go through this life knowing that we have been justified by faith through Jesus, just as if we had never sinned. And he is just and he is the justifier. That's what it says there in verse number 26. Let me read those verses one more time. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there's no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, so this doesn't come from ourselves. Doesn't come from being good. Doesn't come from going to church. Doesn't come from putting money in the basket. Doesn't come from being better than our coworkers, our neighbors. It comes as a gift through Jesus, verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. That means our substitute, our replacement. Jesus took the pain, Jesus took the penalty, Jesus took the punishment upon himself so that I wouldn't have to go through it. By his blood, to be received by what? To be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. He doesn't see our sins anymore. He sees the righteousness of Jesus upon our lives. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So when you believe, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you become justified. Justified. And for me, that was as a six-year-old boy. For you, it may be at a different time of life. You may be here and say, I have never accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. That means you are still in your sin, and you have not yet been justified. But we hope that you take care of that today and speak with one of us about what it means to become a part of the family of God. Justification, one time in the past, that moment that you accepted Jesus as Savior, the judicial, not guilty, acquitted, placed upon your life. Woo! Awesome, right? Good stuff. Now, over here with Alicia is glorification. Okay, glorification. Now, I want you to turn over a couple pages to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 30, we read these words. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And you say, Pastor Greg, there's a predestined in there. Yeah, that's over here, okay? And we're not going to get into that today because that's going to be way too deep in the weeds for us. But if you'd like to talk to me about it, I'd love to have that conversation with you, okay? So predestined, justified. But those who are justified will one day be glorified. And what is glorification? Glorification is when we leave this world for heaven, we become glorified. Okay, when we leave this world for heaven, we become glorified. Now, there's some other layers or some other things going on there, but I'm not going to get into those things too deeply today with, you know, new body and the resurrection and all these kinds of things. But the baseline is we're not here anymore. We're no longer living with sin and the consequence of sin and selfishness and all this stuff. We're in heaven. And when we're in heaven, there's going to be a glorified state that we're going to be in where we're not going to have to deal with sin and heartache and pain and suffering and poor choices from other people and poor choices of our own and all the rest. Okay? Definition. Glorification is the ultimate perfection of believers in Jesus. Ultimate perfection, right? Perfect, absolutely perfect. Not saying anything bad, thinking, not even, I mean, think about that. I mean, think about the battle that we face in happened to me this week. Man, I want to just lay into somebody, you know? You know, when I'm in heaven, when I'm glorified, I won't even think about trying to lay into somebody. It's not even going to be a part of my predisposition. Because now, because even though I've been justified, his righteousness covers my sin, you know, and the things I still struggle with. And now I've got this old nature and this new nature. When I get to this point, you take that old, you just throw it away. And now it's just the new. Now it's just the righteousness. Now it's just all the things that are good and pure and perfect and holy and right and all those things. Glorification. You know, how many have ever said or heard or, you know, well, nobody's perfect, right? Okay? One day you will be. One day you will be. One day you will be like him. One day you will live and act and be completely righteous because you'll have cast off the shackles of those things we still struggle with and be glorified. Justification, glorification, but now we have, there's something in between. There's something that happens since we've been justified and until we become glorified, and that's what we call sanctification. Sanctification. Romans chapter 6, turn back a page to Romans chapter 6, and let me read verses 17 through 19. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin, okay, you were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. So the Bible says there's this process. When we submit to God's Spirit in action and attitude, we are being sanctified. Okay? So justification, we accept Jesus as Savior. we are declared righteous. We are justified. We have been justified. Okay? When we leave this world for heaven, we become glorified. But now, there's where we are right now. We're between these two states. We can look back and say, yes, I was justified at this point in time. Yes, I look forward to the day that I will be glorified and I don't have to deal. Now, what am I going to do in the meantime? Sanctification. Sanctification is the process of the believer in Jesus being set apart to live out God's design and purpose. That's what sanctification is. Okay, ladies, thank you. You can be seated. Give them a hand, everybody. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. Appreciate your help. Okay. So when we submit to God's Spirit in action and attitude, we are being sanctified. Sanctification is the process of the believer in Jesus being set apart to live out God's design and purpose. When you take a pen, okay, and you use the pen for its designated purpose in writing things down, you are sanctifying the pen. You are setting apart the pen for its intended and primary use. It's not there to clean out your ears, okay? It's not there for any number of reasons that we use our. That's what it's for. We're setting apart. We're sanctifying it. Okay, our eyeglasses. You know, we're using our eyeglasses when we put them on so that we can see better. We're sanctifying them. We're setting them apart for their intended, purposeful use. The Bible says the Greek word for sanctification, it comes from the word that is holy, holiness, being set apart. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So it's this process that we're involved in. Man, we're glad that we're saved. We're glad that we're a believer. We're glad we're part of God's family. Whew, I'm so glad I took care of that as a six-year-old boy. I'm so glad I took care of that as a teenager. I'm so glad I took care of that as a young adult. Whenever that was for you, we all look forward to this day. At least I do. Look forward to this day when there's going to be no more death, no more sin, no more corruption, no more selfishness, no more pain, no more hospitals, no funeral homes, no prescription medicines, no separation from loved ones. Everything will be made full and perfect and wonderful. I look forward to that day. But now we're this work in progress. And God just didn't say, okay, I saved you, you're justified, now just kind of hang out until you're in heaven. No, he wants to work in our lives. We're a work in progress. He's wanting to sanctify us so that we might be used according to his purpose and design. So sanctification involves three things. Let me share three things with you this morning, and then we'll go. Okay? Three things about sanctification. Number one, sanctification involves resting in God's purpose and plan. Resting in God's purpose and plan. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." He's the vine. We're the branches. We're connected to him. It's not the other way around. We draw our strength and our help and our sustenance from him, not the other way around. This is an important starting point for us because it is about God's working through us, not our finishing the work of God. That is such a crucial distinction. We're going to get to this toward the end of the message this morning. Because we think, okay, I've got to work, I've got to work, I've got to work, I've got to work. You know what he says? First, rest. Rest in the fact that God has a purpose and plan for your life. When I'm doing a puzzle with Gracie, what is my predisposition to try to do the work for her? You know, let me help you with that. Let me, you know, we want to help God out. We want to do it. He says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can't do anything." So sanctification involves, number one, rest. I love this verse in Galatians 3:3. Because the Galatians had a huge issue with legalism and external rules and adding to salvation and all sorts of things. In Galatians 3:3, the apostle says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" You know, you claim that you began in the Spirit. God touched your life. God touched your soul. You became a part of His family. God did that work exclusively in your life. And now you're going to be the one that makes it better. You're going to be the one that makes it perfect. You're the one that's going to complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. He says that's foolishness. It's foolishness to think that we would start in the Spirit and then be perfected by the flesh. We start in the Spirit and we are perfected by the Spirit working in our lives. God began the work, going back to Philippians 1. God began the perfect work and He will complete it. He will finish it at the day of Jesus Christ. It's going to be completely finished at this point right here. We are glorified. But in the meantime, we are a work in progress. And the first thing I want you to remember is I want you to rest. I want you to rest in God's purpose and plan. He is the vine, you are the branches. Number two, growing, sanctification involves growing in grace and knowledge. Growing in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." It was fascinating as I was going through this study this week and thinking about, you know, because the point of the message is sanctification, but I wanted to make sure I bookended it with what God has done in the past and what God is going to do in the future. All these references to, you know, we'll complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. There's all these references to, you know, the end is coming. The end, that day is coming when we are going to be glorified, when we are going to be with Jesus. And in the meantime, what's this work that He's doing? There's certainly a correlation between physical growth and spiritual growth. There just is. There's a correlation between the two. Because we understand physical growth. A one-month-old baby with no teeth, no hair, can't talk, can't walk is cute. We love that. Oh, that baby is so cute. He has no hair, he has no teeth, he can't walk, he can't talk. 1 month old, we think that's cute. A 21-year-old with no teeth, no hair, can't walk, can't talk is not cute. There's something wrong. Okay, there's something wrong there, you know? And not just in a humorous, but there are people, and it's like, that's not right. There's a developmental disability. We recognize that as not being right. Physical growth. Just as our bodies need physical nourishment, so do our souls need spiritual nourishment. And if you don't hear anything else today, man, remember this. Just as our bodies need, because, man, we are, you know, and we need to be. I'm not saying we shouldn't be. But we know all there is to know about growth and health and fitness and exercise and all the things that we should be doing, and some better than others. Just as our bodies need physical nourishment, our souls need spiritual nourishment. We didn't even think about having that cup of coffee this morning. For some of you, getting a cup of coffee in the morning is just like breathing. When we go home from church this afternoon, we're going to go home to our lunch. It wouldn't even dawn on us to not go home and not have lunch. Because it's just what we do. It's what we do to physically nourish our bodies. But when it comes to the spiritual nourishment of our souls, it's like pulling teeth sometimes, right? Oh, I got to read my Bible. Oh, I got to pray. Oh, I got to get to church. And it's this just grind. And then we're like, why don't I have more power? Why don't I have more victory? Why am I not stronger in my faith? Maybe it's because you're not feeding your soul. We need to be nourishing our souls just as we nourish our bodies. So how do we do that? Well, I've already outlined them for you. Three quick things. Time in God's Word. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You will not be able to nourish your soul apart from this book. You just can't do it. You can't do it. You need to have God's word in your life. You need to find time. You're going to make time for food, aren't you? Yeah, buddy. You're already thinking about what you're going to have for lunch, you know? And all of you want a shamrock shake because of my shirt I'm wearing today, you know? Everybody's thinking about shamrock shakes. You can't wait for lunch, but listen, we need the book. We need the book. If you're going to be strengthened spiritually, you've got to nourish your soul, and time in God's word is necessary. Time with God's spirit in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-19. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not quench the spirit. Man, we can do that. We can do that. When we just kind of go throughout our days and go through our lives, and we're only praying, you know, at the crisis moment. We're only praying at the designated time. Pray without ceasing. Always be in an attitude of prayer. Always be in a posture of prayer. Always be having conversations with God. Keep Him as a focus throughout your day. That spiritual nourishment for your soul. Without it, you're going to be weak. You're going to be weak. And thirdly, time with God's people. Time with God's people. Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more, catch this, as you see the day approaching. I love that. What day? This day. The glorification has come. The day is coming when we're going to be perfect and we're going to be whole and we're not going to have all that. But until that day comes, and as you see that day coming, don't neglect the assembly of the saints. Don't neglect being with God's people. And I just want to encourage you. We're all busy. We all have stuff that's going on in our lives, and some of us more than others. Make church a priority. Make church a priority. Not because we just want you to be here and because it's great when you're... It's because you need to be here. Your soul needs the spiritual nourishment that comes from being with God's people. And when you take that component, when you take the Bible out of your life, when you take prayer out of your life, when you take God's people out of your life, it is going to have an effect. It's going to have an effect on you. It's going to have an effect on your children. It's going to have an effect on your life. It just is. Because just as our bodies need this physical nourishment, I'm telling you, that is going to be a key to our understanding. If we start making that correlation between the body's need for physical nourishment and the soul's need for spiritual nourishment, you're going to win more battles. You're going to be more successful. Because this one we get, totally. We're raised that way. This one, we don't get as much. But my prayer for all of us is that we will see the value and what it means to be growing in grace and knowledge. That's what sanctification involves. It's not just sitting idly by. It's resting first. Start there. Rest. God's purpose, God's plan for my life. But I need to be growing. I need to be growing in grace. I need to be growing in knowledge. I need to know what God's word says. I need to know God better. Growing in grace and knowledge. Do not underestimate the role the lack of spiritual nourishment will have upon your life. Don't underestimate it. The devil says, it's not a big deal. You can skip the Bible today. You don't need to pray today. You can miss church today. Not a biggie. You can catch it next week. I'm telling you, don't underestimate the role of the lack of spiritual nourishment will have upon your life. Because it will, as time goes on. Number three. Sanctification involves living in righteousness and godliness. Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope. I love that. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. We are going to follow after a life of righteousness and godliness. Now notice the order. Notice the order that we're talking about. Resting, growing, living. Resting, growing, living. It's not the other way around. And that's the difference between legalism and liberty. Legalism says, live, do, work for God, do all that you can, grow. And then when you've checked all the boxes and you've done all the right things, then you can rest. That's legalism. That's taking the initiative with God rather than resting in what God has done, growing in that grace, and then the byproduct being living in righteousness and godliness. As God does his work in our lives, there is going to be a difference in our worldview and in our behavior. We will look different, act different, talk different. We will be different. We will be set apart. We will be holy, for he is holy. As God does that work in our lives, as that work in progress is taking place, there's going to be a difference. We certainly live in a world of gray and moral relativism. But friends, need we remind us, and I hope that in our churches we would champion this cause, that there still is right and wrong in this world. There is still right and there is still wrong. And while we are waiting for that day, while we're waiting for that day, glorification, let's live righteously. Let's live godly. Righteousness is simply doing what is right. So what is right? When you're confronted with a situation in your own life, in your family, in your job, with a relationship, what is right? Do what is right. Live in righteousness. Godly, emulating Jesus. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus respond to that person? Our tendency is what? Expediency and to be undercover. And that is not sanctification. It's not what is right. It's, okay, what's gonna ruffle the least amount of feathers? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be expedient. Okay, not what Jesus would do, not being godly, but I'm going to kind of keep it. I'm not going to talk about the fact that I'm a Christ follower. I don't want to. Righteousness and godliness. So as we rediscover church, we're out of time. As we rediscover church, we find that God continues to do a work in our lives all throughout our journey as a believer in Jesus. All throughout, from the point of justification until the time we leave this world for heaven and are glorified, he is doing a work, just like that puzzle piece. He is putting the pieces together in our lives. When we accept Jesus, we are justified. Hallelujah. We're a part of his family. His righteousness covers our sin and our filth. When we leave this earth, we're glorified. Hallelujah. Because I'm looking forward to seeing my Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing my dad. I'm looking forward to seeing my grandparents. I'm looking forward to seeing Moses and Noah. And I'm looking forward to seeing all everybody. And not having to deal with this battle constantly with my mind and my thoughts and my emotions. It's hard. I look forward to that day. But in the meantime, we are being sanctified. And it involves resting in his purpose and plan. Rest. He is the vine. You're the branches. Don't leave here today and say, I need to strive more. No, you need to rest more. You need to recognize that Jesus did all the work. And God is going to continue to do all the work. Rest in his plan and his promise. Grow in grace and knowledge. Be growing. Be in his word. Be in prayer. Be with his people. And living in righteousness and godliness. There's an old story about a little girl who proudly wore a shiny cross on a chain around her neck. She had a nice necklace on. One day she was approached by a man who said to her, "Little girl, don't you know that the cross Jesus died on wasn't beautiful like the one you're wearing? It was an ugly wooden thing." She was surprised by the stranger's affront, but then quickly replied, "Yes, I know, but they told me in Sunday school that whatever Jesus touches, he changes." That's good preaching from that little girl. Whatever Jesus touches, he changes. And friends, God is changing us. God is God is working in our lives. We are a work in progress. He's bringing about something beautiful in us. The British evangelist Alan Redpath said, "The conversion of a soul is the miracle of a moment, but the manufacture of a saint is the task of a lifetime." Say, "Pastor Greg, I'm not near where I want to be spiritually. I'm just not where I want to be yet." That's okay. You know what? Neither am I. The fact that I wanted to lay into this woman this week demonstrated to me that I'm still a work in progress. There's still some stuff that God is working in my life about. I look forward to that day when it's done. But you know what? It ain't done yet. Be encouraged. Be encouraged in knowing that God is still working. Now, that's not an excuse. You know, it's not an excuse to be like, "Yeah, I can just do whatever I want because, you know, I'm still a work in progress and you just got to deal with me." No. Rest in God's purpose and plan. Grow in grace and knowledge. Live in righteousness and godliness. I trust that'll be our prayer this morning. Father God, thank you so much for the time together. And Lord, lots of stuff this morning, lots of information, lots of scripture, lots of challenging words from this pulpit this morning. And I pray that each one would recognize that the work that you're doing in us is a work that you're starting in me. And Lord, I thank you for your Spirit's leading, and I thank you for the work that you're doing in my life. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm not perfect yet, but you're still working. And Lord, I pray for my friends this morning who are in that process of sanctification. And Lord, I pray that you'd give them a patience, an understanding of the work that you're doing in their life, and that they might rest, that they might grow, that they might live in a way that's pleasing to you and that honors the sacrifice that Jesus has made for them. And Lord, I pray for maybe even one person here today that does not know Jesus as Savior. They're still living in their sin. They've never accepted Jesus. They've never had that transformation take place in their heart. Lord, I pray that even now they would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and recognize their need for Jesus. So Father, in these moments, I pray that you would bless in our hearts and bless in our lives, that you would encourage us, and that we would leave today grateful that we are all still a work in progress. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to thank you all for being here today. I really appreciate it. I know we've gone a little bit long today. The preacher just gets to preaching sometimes. And I really thank you for your kind attention and your being here this morning. I trust that you'll greet each other before you leave. I want to remind you that we'll have to tear things down. And because we're not coming back for youth group tonight, the tables need to come back down too, the lunch tables. And so anybody that can stay and help us with that, we would greatly appreciate it. Let's stand together. Jeff's going to lead us in a closing song. Greet each other before you leave this morning. And if you have any questions about anything we've talked about today or anything happening here at the church, see Bible study.